This is the News at 5 on WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
Good evening. This is the WRKC News at 5. I'm Jake Sarwar. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's top stories are the need for blood donations in the area and the new extended library hours. We'll also get a closer look into the FIMRC Club, get an update on Trump's first week as president on politics this week, hear an exclusive interview with former Jets lineman Joe Klecko, and hear your weekend forecast. The Wyoming Valley is currently in an emergency blood donation deficit for all types of blood. The students and faculty of King's College helped give back to the community in this hard time by participating in the Red Cross blood drive yesterday in the campus center. Station manager Jessica Mulligan attended the drive.
All you need is blood. These words have been plastered all over windows, bulletin boards, and walls for days around campus, broadcasting the college's blood drive, held Thursday, January 26th. Partnering with the American Red Cross, King's College held a blood drive in the campus center, which lasted from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Miss Valerie Musto, biology lab director and moderator for King's College Blood Council, was able to share more details about the event, including the amount of donors and pints of blood collected.
This time we had a total of 83 donors who came out, and sometimes there are some deferrals, so we ended up with 70 units, and that was the goal. So we made it.
She explained that she does not actually know where the blood goes.
That I don't really know. The Red Cross collects from all the different collections, and then they're at liberty to send it to where they need it to be. We do a Geisinger drive, which is more of the Geisinger, local Geisinger hospitals in Danville and around here. And they keep it within the local area.
Blood drives occur frequently throughout the year and have been so for decades.
Probably from the 70s or before. It's been three times a year for many, many years. There's an occasional one or two we've added in if we needed it, if there was an emergency situation or something like that. But it's mostly three. There's another drive on March 29th. That'll be the last for the academic year.
Musto shared that student involvement is also high for these events.
That would be our blood council, and there's about 30 to 40 of them. They come out and sign up at the activities fair every year, and mostly a lot of them are PA students or science students, but we have a bunch that are across the boards with different majors and things, and anybody who wants to be involved can be.
Requirements are limited as to who can give blood, making it very easy for anyone to be a donor.
Well, basically you just have to be 17 years old, I believe, and in good health. They used to have a weight requirement, but that's kind of touchy. It depends on what the nurse feels. If you look a little too light, you know, they might not take it. But there's really nothing else other than you're healthy, and they don't like you to be, you know, if you were sick or maybe on any medication. But other than that, it's a case-by-case basis.
Musto explained what she would tell someone who is hesitant about donating.
It is not a long procedure. There's time that you're there because you need to do a health history, and you have to have your temperature taken and your iron found to make sure that it's the right level. The actual donation is a very, very, very tiny needle. It takes about 8 minutes to get the blood out of your system. It is very good for you. It gets rid of different excess irons mostly for males. I would say try it. It is not as bad as you think it might be. A lot of people get blood tests at the hospital for different things or at doctor's offices, and it's really not any different than that.
Be sure to look out for signs regarding the next blood drive in the spring so you can be part of this noble cause. For WRKC News at 5, I am Station Manager Jessica Mulligan.
After the decision to open the D. Leonard Corrigan Library 24/7 for King students at the end of last semester, the college has decided to bring back this policy into effect for the entire 2017 spring semester. Program Director Nick Rotundo had the chance to speak with Library Director Terrence Meck about the implementation of the new hours.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
They say reading can take you to a whole new world, and here at King's, students can now do just that at any time of the day. Recently, the D. Leonard Corrigan Library here at King's College has decided to open its doors to students 24/7. Library Director Terrence Meck explains how this idea came about.
Last semester, student government in October, request was made. In cooperation with security, we responded.
After last semester, student government and the library staff came together and discussed continuing this policy.
Well, there was discussion over break. The data was provided to student government as well as others. There is a drop-off in the traffic after 2, but that's, you know, that's normal. And the last 3 weeks of the semester are heavier than they would be like in the first 3 weeks of the semester.
When asked if this policy would continue into the next academic year, Meck explained the process.
The current arrangement is that we will go 24/7 through the semester and then evaluate the data and the switch situation at that point in time.
Although the library is still open to the public during its previous hours, only active King students will be allowed into the building after 11 p.m. and will now have to sign in with King security.
Library hours are as they were. After we sign off at 11 o'clock, security will man the building. Entrance will be through the handicap access card swipe ID. Students only, no alumni, no community people, no citizens, if you will.
For more information on the Corrigan Library, you can check out the library tab on kings.edu. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Program Director Nick Rotundo.
Take a look, it's in a book, a reading
Coming up next, we'll get a look into the FIMRC Club with a club spotlight, Trump's next week as president on Politics This Week, an interview with former Jets lineman Joe Klecko, and the weekend weather forecast.
Woo! Let's get crazy!
In movies, when someone at a party jumps into a pool fully dressed, everyone cheers them on and jumps in too. Just so you know, in real life parties, nobody jumps in after you. You just look stupid.
Come on, jump in. Come on.
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Can't get enough of those lovable mop tops, the Beatles? Tune in to the Beatle-Ed Fab 4 Hour live every Friday night at 7 on WRKC. And if you miss a show, you can catch an encore of Ed's show Saturday nights at 9.
The News at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC, Wilkes-Barre.
King's College introduced a new student club, the Foundation for International Medical Relief of Children Club, or FIRMERC, last semester. Junior neuroscience student and the vice president of FIRMERC, Claire Jones, described what FIRMERC promotes around King's and explains why people in the organization do what they do.
So FIMRIC, which stands for the Foundation for International Medical Relief for Children, we're just promoting going out into the world and helping not only like local communities with medical issues, but also communities around the world. Like we're sending students to Ecuador this summer to help at a clinic to help the people there. There's certain places in the world that they don't have enough funds or people to help other people in certain sense. So it's just like helping, having an extra hand to places that don't have enough.
King's isn't the only college around the country associated with a nonprofit organization. Senior neuroscience major and president of FIRMERC, Marissa Spotifor, describes the wealth of chapters of FIRMERC around the country.
So there are over, I believe now, 70 chapters throughout the United States. And some bigger ones would be like Temple, Clemson University, Yale University. I think UPenn even has one too.
Back home, King's has its own chapter, where Spotifor explains what happens at meetings. Their big project is a mammogram project to go along with other chapters of FIRMERC.
So it depends on what chapter, but our chapter meets biweekly on Tuesday nights. We talk about our plans for the semester. We talk about our volunteer opportunities that we're planning, our fundraisers, which are mostly going towards our mammogram project this year, which we're almost at our goal of 3,000 for. So we're really excited about that. And then we also talk about planning our trip to Ecuador. Well, the Mammogram Project is a part of FIMRIC's foundation. They have chapters adopt what they call a project, and so this is our project. We're adopting the clinical site in Costa Rica. They're trying to establish mammograms free for women, and so we're helping fund them in those efforts.
Finally, Spotify tells us how to get in reach and how to get involved in the group.
So we would actually absolutely love anyone who wants to be involved from any major. We're starting a new class to go along with our club for these medical mission trips. They're not just medical, they're education, public health. So they can either contact me, Claire, or Alexis Perez, or Ashley McKinney.
Ashley McKinney is the FIMRIC secretary, while Alexis Perez is the club's treasurer. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm social media and promotions director John Flynn.
How has President Trump's first week in office gone? Find out on Politics This Week. Donald Trump has started his first week in office with a selection of widely debated executive orders. On day one, Trump gutted the executive power of the Affordable Care Act. He instructed the Department of Health and Human Services to enforce the law as loosely as possible. The House of Representatives is working to pass a budget with minimal funds allocated to the Affordable Care Act. On day four, the president limited the power of the EPA to require environmental impact statements for infrastructure projects. Day six focused on the deportation of illegal immigrants and defunding sanctuary cities, and included campaign promises such as the border wall and a ban on immigration from seven Muslim-majority countries where the Islamic State is present. In various memoranda, Trump also prevented public communications from executive departments such as the National Park Service and NASA, leading to rogue Twitter accounts from the agencies. The Mexico City policy was also restored, which regards restricting funding to NGOs to promote or suggest abortions. Next came a withdrawal from the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade agreement and a federal hiring and wage freeze. Trump ordered the Keystone XL and Dakota Access pipelines to be built and manufacturing regulations be relaxed. This rapid fire of executive action targeting Mexico has reheated tensions with Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto, who canceled a meeting scheduled with President Trump. Nieto decided to reschedule the interview over the phone. British Prime Minister Theresa May visited Washington today with President Trump. During a press conference with the Prime Minister, Trump reaffirmed his interest in keeping diplomatic ties with the UK after the Brexit. Defense Secretary James Mattis also came up, which Trump noted he would delegate the decision of the use of torture to. Mattis is an opponent of torture. In addition, Russia got a spot in the conference. President Trump said he was open to having warmer relations with the country and their president, Vladimir Putin. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm News Director Katie Pugh.
Many people may remember defensive lineman Joe Klecko as one of the members of the New York Jets sack exchange. Although his playing days are over, Klecko can't live without two things, faith and football. Klecko spoke about how his football career started and the fond memories he has taken away from it.
I never went out for football until I was a senior in high school. I came out of high school and I didn't have a scholarship. And my family was not a family of means. So basically I went on to play semi-pro football. And when I went on to play semi-pro football, Wayne Harden from Temple University seen me play and happened to give me a full scholarship. And at that time, you know, I played for Temple and then I was drafted by the New York Jets. It's very seldom anybody can go through life and find 50 guys to have the same thing in common with every day. And that's the one thing about sports. Sports allows you that camaraderie.
After Joe Klecko retired from his 10-year career in the NFL, he spoke about how he became closer to God and how he found his faith.
How it happened to me was my faith got stronger was God taps us on the shoulder for what he wants from us. And what I mean by that is you, I, everyone has a goal in life for which God has. That's divine providence. And God has to direct you in that way. He puts things in front of you or he takes things away from you. And with me, he took it away from me, which was, you know, money, basically. I became bankrupt. From that point on, I needed someone, and I turned to him. And basically, once I decided to follow him, that's a tough road. The message of God is to suffer, but while you suffer, combine it with his cross and offer it for souls
and whatever God needs. And that's the biggest message that I've gotten through in my life.
Concussions are a constant problem in the world of sports today, especially with football players in the NFL. Joe Klecko spoke about concussions, their impact, and the NFL.
It's a reality. The NFL just about a month ago basically came out and admitted it, that they've been lying all along. They've held back studies, they've held back things that they've done, and they've acclaimed the general public has as many concussions as head traumas as professional athletes. That's just not true. Mike Webster was a guy who played for the Pittsburgh Steelers for years, and he was a Hall of Famer, and he died. He died of Lou Gehrig's disease and Alzheimer's, and that was the movie that was made for him by Will Smith. When it came out, the doctor in West Virginia found that he died from these head concussions. The NFL had a six-man committee that were to decide whether or not his family would receive $1.5 million in payment for what happened to Mike. And Roger Goodell was one of them six members, and he's the president, and they all denied him, every one of them. And if you see the movie, it's so ridiculous. It says mouthfuls about the NFL.
Klecko gives advice for people who are learning to play football and learning about their faith.
Well, football, the biggest point is learn how to play football the right way. Don't use your head as much. And as far as your faith, going as a Catholic, going to church, praying, and monthly confession is a huge, huge part of someone's life. What happens is people get so involved in their life and things that are going on in their life, they're grasping for the next straw before they've enjoyed the last drink. And that's exactly what falls to all the people in this society and what they do wrong. You got to put God first. And it's a tremendously tough thing to do when you see all these celebrities, they drive big cars and things like that. But when you finally get down to it and you realize that that's not all it's cracked up to be, then you see how God acts in your life.
For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Sports Director Dan Stokes.
And now the weather. Tonight will be cloudy with a low of 30. Tomorrow will be cloudy with a high of 38. And Sunday will be partly sunny with a high of 37. Next Saturday, campus activities will be taking a trip to New York City to see the Broadway production In Transit. Tickets are $30, payable in King's Cash. Limit one ticket per full-time student. Sign up and campus activities. The Widman Gallery is featuring a new exhibit called For the Love of Painting. It will be showcased until February 17th. This has been the WRKC News at 5. I'm Jake Sarwar. Have an outstanding weekend.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio King's College, Wilkes-Barre.